Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. Imagine for a second that you're trying to find the perfect pairing of ingredients out of billions of possibilities.
Right, like an impossibly huge kitchen pantry.
Exactly. Now imagine that in this scenario, the right match actually cures a devastating disease. But, you know, the wrong one does absolutely nothing. Or worse, it's highly toxic.
Yeah, which is a terrifying thought.
It really is. And finding synergistic drug combinations is exactly this. It's a massive life-saving mathematical headache. But there's a fundamental problem here. We simply don't have enough data to test them all.
No, we really don't.
So what really happens when we can teach an AI to view a single drug from 8 completely different perspectives at once, essentially creating high-quality training data out of thin air? How could this change the way we discover multi-drug treatments for cancer?
Well, it forces us to completely rethink how machine learning processes sparse biomedical data. I mean, we are moving from a world where we just accept data shortages to one where we engineer our way right out of them.
Right. Today, we celebrate the work of Hanwen Xu, Jiacheng Lin, Liuai Wang, Sheng Wang, and their colleagues across the University of Washington, UIUC, Tsinghua University, Microsoft Research, and the Mayo Clinic, who have advanced our understanding of multimodal data augmentation for drug synergy prediction.
Yeah, their research tackles one of the most stubborn roadblocks in modern pharmacology.
Which is what, exactly?
Well, drug combination therapy is highly sought after, especially for cancer treatment. When you use synergistic drugs, meaning their combined effect is much greater than just adding their individual effects together, you can dramatically reduce cancer resistance.
Because cancer is incredibly adaptive, right?
Exactly. Cancer is so adaptive. If you hit a tumor with just one drug, the surviving cells often mutate and find a workaround. You know, they build an escape route.
Right.
But hitting it with a synergistic combination blocks the main pathway and simultaneously cuts off those escape routes.
But developing machine learning models to predict these perfect combinations, I mean, that is a massive catch-22.
That is the fundamental hurdle here. To capture the complex, non-linear biological effects of how two drugs interact inside a specific human cell, you need an expressive, highly complex AI model.
Right, a really smart system.
Yeah, but expressive AI models require massive amounts of training data. Without it, they just memorize the small amount of data they do have.
Which is what we call overfitting.
Exactly, overfitting, and then they fail completely when you ask them to make new predictions.
And we simply don't have that massive amount of lab data to train them on.
We don't, because the search space grows cubically.
Cubically. Wait, explain that for the listener.
Sure. So you aren't just testing drug A in a vacuum. You are testing drug A plus drug B against a very specific cancer cell line.
Ah, I see.
So if you have 1,000 drugs, the possible combinations against hundreds of different cancer cell lines explode into the billions.
Wow.
Yeah, it is physically, computationally, and financially impossible to experimentally profile all of these combinations in a wet lab.
So researchers try to feed the AI different types of data, what a paper calls modalities.
That's
to give
right.
more context.
Right, exactly.
But that introduces another massive hurdle, right? The missing modality issue.
Yeah. In a perfect world, for every single drug, we would have its complete 3D structure, its full side effect profile, its textual description, its genetic targets, and its chemical formula.
But I'm guessing we don't live in a perfect world.
We definitely don't. In reality, we rarely have every piece of data for every drug.
Right.
If a traditional AI model is designed to analyze 5 different modalities and a drug is missing just one of them, the model often chokes. It just can't process it.
So what do they do?
Researchers usually have to guess and artificially fill in the missing data, which, you know, immediately introduces errors.
It's like trying to train a chef to create a complex recipe. But for some ingredients, you only have a photo. For others, you only have a smell. And for some, you just have a written description.
That's a great way to put it.
If the AI demands to taste every single ingredient before it starts cooking, it's going to starve. So how do we bypass that?
Well, that brings us to the methodology introduced in the sources, a novel machine learning model named Pisces.
Pisces, okay.
Yeah, Pisces takes a completely different approach by using what they call multimodal data augmentation.
Okay, let's unpack this mechanically. How does Pisces actually work?
It starts by looking at a single drug through 8 distinct modalities.
8 of them. Okay, let me guess a few. Chemical formulas, obviously, and maybe side effects.
Those are 2 of them, yep. To be precise, there are 8 specific ways Pisces represents what a drug is and what it does.
Okay, lay them out for us.
First, there's SMILES, which is a standardized text string representing a molecule structure.
Got it.
Second, 2D molecular graphs. Third, the actual 3D geometric structures of the molecule.
Okay, so a lot of shape data.
Right. Fourth, the drug targets, meaning the specific genes or proteins the drug physically interacts with.
Makes sense.
Fifth, textual descriptions, like the summaries you would find in a medical database. Sixth, the known side effects.
Ah, there's the side effects.
Yep. Seventh, drug sensitivity data, basically how the drug performs independently across different cell lines. And finally, the drug ontology.
Ontology, what does that mean in this context?
It's basically how the drug is formally categorized in medical family trees.
Okay, that is a wildly diverse set of information. You have raw chemistry, 3D shapes, human written text, and biological side effects.
It's a lot of different languages, so to speak.
I have to admit, the math here confuses me a bit. How does an AI even begin to compare a paragraph of text to a 3D geometric shape?
Think of it like mapping a city. You can identify a location using GPS coordinates, or you can use street names, or you can use a landmark. The first component of Pisces, called the projector, acts like a universal translator. It takes a 3D shape and a text description and translates them both into a shared mathematical space.
So a set of universal coordinates.
Exactly.
So it's translating everything into a master language. It's like taking a witness's written statement and a blurry security photo, translating them both into an abstract sketch and realizing they're describing the exact same suspect.
That is a perfect analogy.
How does it actually do that under the hood, though?
Technically, the projector uses specific neural networks. For the medical text, it uses transformers.
Like the tech behind large language models.
Yep, just like that. Much like how an LLM reads sentences to understand context, this transformer reads medical literature to extract the drug's purpose.
Oh, fascinating.
And for the physical molecules, it uses graph convolutional networks.
Graph networks.
Yeah, a molecule is essentially a graph. The atoms are nodes, and the chemical bonds are the lines connecting them. The network mathematically walks along those bonds to understand the shape.
So everything ends up in that single shared embedding space.
Correct. Everything gets standardized.
Okay. Once everything is in that shared mathematical space, Pisces does something incredibly clever to solve our data starvation problem. The 64 times multiplier.
Right. This is the real innovation of what they call the augmenter module.
How does it work?
Well, let's say you want to predict how drug A and drug B will react together. Pisces doesn't just look at drug A and drug B as single entities.
Because it has all those different views now.
Exactly. Because the projector created up to 8 different views for drug A and up to 8 different views for drug B, the augmenter pairs them up.
It pairs every view of drug A with every view of drug B.
Yes.
So 8 times 8.
Exactly. It pairs the text description of drug A with the 3D structure of drug B, then the side effects of drug A with the smile string of drug B.
Oh, wow. So by doing this pairwise combination, you get 64 distinct augmented views for a single drug pair.
You got it.
It effectively expands the original sparse data set 64 times over without needing a single new lab test.
Right. It's generating its own training data just by looking at the existing data from different angles.
And this solves the missing data problem perfectly, because each of the 64 views is treated as a completely independent instance.
Exactly. So if a drug is missing a modality...
Let's say drug A doesn't have a known 3D structure.
Right. Then Pisces just skips any pairs that would have used that specific view.
It just trains on whatever is available without needing to guess.
Yeah. It circumvents the missing modality challenge entirely.
Okay. I have to push back here, though.
Sure.
If we suddenly multiply our data by 64, aren't we also multiplying the noise?
That is a very valid concern.
I mean, what if pairing a drug's side effect profile with another drug's 3D structure yields total garbage? Not every perspective is going to be useful for predicting a cancer cure.
And that is the most critical vulnerability of data augmentation. If you feed an AI garbage, it will learn garbage.
Right. So how does Pisces avoid that trap?
That is why Pisces includes a third module called the aggregator. The system does not just average all 64 predictions together blindly.
Okay.
It uses a concept called noisy label learning.
Noisy label learning. How does that filter out the garbage?
Well, it forces the model to be ruthlessly selective. Of the up to 64 predictions generated for a single drug pair, the aggregator only keeps the top high confidence predictions.
How many does it keep?
In their experiments, they found that keeping the top eight works best.
So it just tosses out the noisy, low-quality combinations.
It has to. If you let all 64 voices shout at once, the system gets confused.
That makes total sense.
By using a deep learning setup called a ResNet architecture, it essentially gives a microphone only to the eight smartest voices.
A ResNet.
Yeah, a ResNet is particularly good at bypassing clutter and finding the strongest signals in deep neural networks. It integrates those top eight signals into one final, highly accurate synergy score.
Okay, so we have this beautifully engineered system. It bypasses the data bottleneck, translates eight different languages of chemistry and biology into one, multiplies its own training data by 64, and filters out its own noise.
That's the summary, yes.
How did this artificially expanded data actually perform when tested against real biological outcomes?
Well, we can view their experiments as a series of escalating stress tests.
Okay, where did they start?
They first tested Pisces on cell line synergy using the GDSC combo dataset.
And that's a massive database of drug combinations tested on cancer cell lines, right?
Yes, exactly. And Pisces thoroughly outperformed existing models.
But let's talk about the toughest scenarios. Predicting synergy for drugs you've already seen is one thing, but biology is unpredictable. What happened when they asked it to predict the unknown?
They evaluated it across different data split settings to test exactly that.
Okay.
In the setting where they asked the model to predict synergy for completely unseen drug combinations.
Meaning the model had never seen these two specific drugs paired together during training.
Correct. In that toughest scenario, Pisces improved the F1 score by nearly 24% over the next best approach.
Okay, wait, let's clarify the F1 score for the listener.
Sure.
In machine learning, an F1 score measures accuracy, basically how well the model avoids false alarms while successfully catching the real threats. So Pisces was nearly 24% better at this balancing act than the best AI we had before.
Yeah, and that is a massive margin in computational biology.
Unbelievable.
And when they asked it to predict outcomes on entirely new cell lines it had never seen, representing new patient profiles, it still improved the F1 score by over 10%.
Okay, so the AI works in a virtual petri dish with two drugs. But biology isn't a petri dish, and humans often take more than two medications.
Very true.
What happened when the researchers really tried to break Pisces by throwing a third drug into the mix?
So the researchers extended Pisces to predict the synergy of three drug combinations.
But wait, you said earlier it was trained entirely on two drug combinations.
It was. Even when trained only on pairs and single drugs, Pisces successfully predicted the synergy of triplets.
Wow.
It achieved an AUROC of 0.8525.
Let's translate AUROC really quick. It's essentially a letter grade for predictive power. A 0.5 is a coin flip, and a 1.0 is absolute perfection.
Right.
Sitting over 0.85 on a task it wasn't even formally trained for is like a tennis player spontaneously entering a badminton tournament and making the finals.
That's a fun way to think about it. But yeah, it shows the model genuinely understands the underlying biology rather than just memorizing training data.
Do we have a specific example of that?
We do. For instance, they looked at the combination of afatinib and trametinib, which is known to be effective. Pisces correctly predicted that adding a third drug, lincitinib, makes it a highly effective three-drug combination for colon adenocarcinoma.
So because the model understood the underlying modality so deeply,
It
could triangulate that third variable.
Exactly.
That is why. But of course, a cancer cell line in a plastic dish is very different from a living, breathing creature. Did they escalate the stress test to animal models?
They did. They moved from cell lines to patient-derived xenografts.
A xenograft, right, where human tumor tissue is implanted into an animal model, like a mouse, to observe how it grows and reacts to drugs in a complex living organism.
Yes, and Pisces didn't just work in petri dishes, it worked in vivo. It predicted the minimum tumor volume changes over time with a Pearson correlation of 0.47.
Okay, a Pearson correlation measures how closely two trends move together. A 0.47 in complex, messy, and vivo biology means the model is successfully capturing the true biological trajectory of the tumor.
Basically, the AI's map matches reality.
Here's where it gets really interesting for you listening. Pisces didn't just give a single score of yes, this works, or no, it doesn't.
No, it didn't.
It actually visualized the chronological growth of these tumors. The system mapped out branches in a 2D space, showing tumors growing over time. Clinicians can look at this map and physically see drug resistance developing.
Yeah, that visual aspect is huge.
As the tumor progresses from an early time point to a later one, you can trace its path. It is not just a static score, it's a dynamic trajectory.
and that temporal analysis is something existing approaches simply cannot do. Pisces can take the time point as an additional input and accurately predict tumor volume at unmeasured future time points.
Wow.
It gives researchers a window into how the tumor will evolve days or weeks later.
It doesn't just predict what cures us, right? It also predicts what hurts us.
Yes. They applied Pisces to drug-drug interaction, or DDI, prediction. Using data sets like Drug Bank and Two Sides, Pisces successfully predicted adverse side effects and toxic interactions between entirely unseen drugs.
Outperforming the competition again.
Exactly, outperforming competing methods. It was even used to construct a novel network to infer interactions for new drugs based solely on their class in the drug ontology.
Okay, so we have this incredible computational success. But how does it translate to a human being sitting in a hospital waiting room? For the listener, let's put this in perspective. Historically, finding a new vulnerability in cancer takes decades of lab work and trial and error.
Right. And the researchers provided a profound clinical validation of their model to answer exactly that question.
What did they find?
They focused on breast cancer, specifically the BRCA cell lines. They took all the synergistic predictions that Pisces made and ran them through a genetic interaction network.
Okay.
And through this, they identified a brand new breast cancer drug-sensitive pathway.
Wait, a completely new vulnerability in the armor of breast cancer, discovered by essentially doing math on existing fragmented data.
Yes. This newly discovered pathway involves 19 different genes.
19 genes.
Crucially, it includes genes from the PI3K and EGFRHR families.
Oh, wow. In oncology, those gene families are notorious.
They really are. They are deeply involved in how tumors grow, divide, and resist therapies. Finding a pathway that targets them simultaneously is a major discovery.
But they didn't just find the 19-gene pathway in the computer and call it a day. They cross-referenced it with real human survival data.
They did. They validated this pathway using the TCGA database, which tracks vast amounts of real-world patient records and genomic data.
Okay, and what were the results?
They looked specifically at patients with ER-positive tumors, estrogen receptor-positive tumors, which are a major subtype of breast cancer. They found that patients who naturally had this specific 19-gene pathway activated lived substantially longer.
Let me just pause you right there, because we really need to appreciate the gravity of that. They found a statistically significant link to actual human survival.
Both overall survival and disease-free survival, yes.
The math predicted the biology, and the biology predicted patient survival.
Exactly. It strongly suggests this computationally discovered pathway could be used as a clinical biomarker for breast cancer prognosis.
That is incredible.
If a clinician sees this pathway is activated in a patient, it opens up very specific, highly effective treatment options that target those genes. It moves us closer to true precision medicine.
As incredible as this is, we always have to look at the boundaries of the science. What are the limitations here? Because an AI that multiplies its own data 64 times sounds almost too good to be true.
Well, it raises an important point about the nature of deep learning. Because Pisces generates 64 different views and passes them through this complex aggregator to find the best signals, it operates a bit like a black box.
Meaning we know it gets the right answer. But we don't always know how it arrived there.
Exactly. It is very hard to interpret exactly which of the eight modalities was the most important for any given prediction.
Oh, I see.
Did it rely mostly on the 3D structure or the text description or a combination of the two? The model doesn't easily tell us its reasoning.
It's like having a brilliant savant in the lab. It gives you the life-saving answer, but when you ask it to show its work and tell you which of the 64 views cracked the case, it stays quiet. That is the next frontier.
Interpreting those results is definitely a major future goal.
Any other limitations?
Additionally, the current model only optimizes for one task at a time.
What do you mean by that?
It predicts synergy, or it predicts side effects, or it predicts xenograft tumor volume.
Ah, so it's siloed.
Right. Future iterations will likely need multitask learning. The goal is an AI that can predict synergies, side effects, and live tumor results simultaneously, giving a much more holistic view of the drug combination in one single pass.
But even with those limitations, what we have here is a massive leap forward. Pisces bypasses the critical bottleneck of sparse biomedical data by virtually augmenting 8 different drug modalities into 64 distinct analytical views.
Yes, it really is a breakthrough.
This allows machine learning to accurately predict complex drug synergies, dynamic tumor growth trajectories, and hidden side effects, even for entirely unseen drug combinations.
It proves that we do not necessarily need more lab data to make breakthroughs. Sometimes we just need to teach our computational models how to look at the data we already have from multiple perspectives simultaneously.
We started by imagining the search for the perfect pairing of ingredients out of billions of possibilities, trying to save the chef from starvation. Pisces doesn't just feed the chef, it changes the way the kitchen operates entirely.
It really does.
What does this mean for the future of personalized medicine when an AI can simulate thousands of combination therapies, predicting exactly how a tumor will grow or shrink over time before you even take a single pill? This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.
A glitch inside the heart. Symbols in the snowfall, meaning out of reach, but I can hear rhythm where the errors try to teach. If the data won't speak, we listen deeper still. Count the pulses in the noise, bend the chaos to our will. Hold the frame steady, let the pattern show. There's a hidden kind of message in the overflow. Signal through the static, shining in the blur. Find the thread, pull it back, make the broken text occur. Even when it's scrambled, we don't let it go. We turn the noise to knowledge, watch the bright new meaning glow. Tokens keep returning like a drum that won't decay. Repeats of strange syllables.